Thank you. When I was going over the passage that I'd been asked to speak on this morning, I found that there was so much in it, I wasn't quite sure where to start. But the more times I read it through, the more a particular phrase kept standing out to me, because it seemed to me that that particular phrase was at the very heart of this passage. And it's that phrase that I want us to think on this morning. It's a phrase that's already been aired amongst us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We like to think that everything in life can be reduced to a technique. We teach our young children how to tie their shoelaces, or perhaps these days, how to connect the Velcro. We teach young girls how to knit, and boys as well, of course. We learn formulas that will help us later on in life. What is it? The square on the hypotenuse is equal to the square on the other, or as my wife would tell you, it's the squaw on the hippopotamus is equal to the squaws on the other two hides. Which is the way she was taught it at the school she went to. But we learn these formulas, don't we? Because they're techniques. They help us to do things. They help us to achieve goals. And if we're not careful, we tend to believe that if we can find the right formula, the right technique, then we can achieve anything. But, there is one area in life where technique has no place. And in a sense, Jesus was talking about that in this passage. He was talking about relationships. Relationship with one another and relationship with God. I suppose, in a sense, it's sometimes a pity that there aren't formulas that we could rely on in relationships. How many times have I met a particular pastoral problem and I've found myself a little bit out of my depth? A little bit inadequate, and I've wished if only there was a formula that I could apply that would put all this right. How many broken families have we got? How many problems within our society? If only there was a formula that we could grasp hold of and learn and would put everything right. But it isn't possible. Because you see, we are not dealing with the problem of pain. We're dealing with someone who is ill and is frightened and is desperate and is unsure and is bewildered. We're not dealing with the problem of bereavement. We're dealing with someone who is feeling the pain of separation, of someone who is having to learn a new way of life. Blueprints, preconceived ideas, theories go out of the window because we're dealing with human beings who are made in the likeness of God. And the only way that we can build relationships, the only way that we can live with one another is when we have an experience and a sensitivity and an understanding of human nature, and above all, a knowledge and a sense of the grace of God. There are no techniques for dealing with people, and equally, there are no techniques of dealing with God, because we speak of him as personal, and in a sense, that's inadequate. But it's the best we can get. He is certainly person rather than thing. But sometimes, if we are tempted to try and get a formula right, and then God will somehow appear. How often have I had to deal with people who have felt guilty because they have gone through the formula and God still has not been present. They have been indoctrinated that if only they got their prayer life right, then God would be there. And he's not. And they've prayed desperately. You see, we're not dealing with that sort of God. We're not dealing with a God who can be manipulated by some special formula or some magic word. So if technique fails in our relationship with people and with a personal God, what are we to do? Where do we look? What's our line of approach to God and to one another? And the Lord's Prayer contains at least one expression that no modern translator has been able to improve upon. And that expression is what we heard earlier in the service, hallowed be your name. We don't talk like that nowadays, do we? It's a language that's a little bit dated to us, a little bit foreign to us. And yet, it is, I believe, the most important phrase in the Lord's Prayer and the most important phrase in that whole passage from Matthew's Gospel. It reminds us that the basic foundation of relationships is reverence. We may not recognize the fact in so many words, but it's easy to tell the difference where reverence is not present. If a person does not reverence their relationship with other people, then he has no hesitation in using others for his own comfort and his own advancement. How often do we see in the press these days of men who have used women for their own advantage and then thrown them on one side? How often do we read of people trafficking, where people are no longer individuals, they've become a commodity? This is the reality of the world in which we live, because we have lost the reverence for one another. It's the difference between caring for the whole personality of someone and not just caring about the bits of their personality which we can exploit and turn to our advantage. Indeed, the very idea of using someone implies that they are not being regarded any longer as a person, but as a thing to be possessed. Reverence means recognizing that another person has a personality of their own, which stands over and against you, which is independent of you, which does not exist for you to take over for your own purposes. Reverence is part of the stuff of life. But it has one great persistent enemy. And that enemy is me, is self. I. I want, I need, I must have. And so we then tend to manipulate people to our way of doing things, to what we want from them. I wonder, I've sat in meetings time and time again, and I've watched as people have tried to manipulate the meeting, to get that meeting to make the decision that they made up their mind they were going to have before they came. And it happens in church meetings, where we've actually come together to seek God's will, but we hear within the meeting people trying to manipulate that meeting, that the decision reached may be the decision that they have. It may be the right decision. But we come together to reverence one another, to listen carefully to what other people are saying to us. And in the listening, hopefully, we begin to hear the word of God speaking to us. And if we're not careful, we lose the highest reverence of all. Reverence for God himself. If we are to revere God, if we are to hallow his name, then we must have some understanding of who he is, for then we know what it is we are hallowing, what we are reverencing. There are all sorts of repulsive ideas that have masqueraded under the title God. And it's perhaps no coincidence that in the Lord's Prayer, the word is never used. God is never used in the Lord's Prayer. We worship our Father, who art in heaven. And heaven doesn't refer to some never-never land beyond the sky. It stands over against us all. It's the otherness of God, as against the worldliness in which we live. God is other than we are. That's what's in heaven. It's not a place of geography. It's a statement of quality and of value. He is not identified with us as though one of us has a monopoly over him and an infallible understanding of him. He is apart from us and yet not remote. He's not unconcerned. For while he is to be hallowed, reverenced, he is at the same time our Father. I've said that reverence for one another cannot outlive the reverence for God. Perhaps you may think that's just pulpit talk. But there is a connection between the two and a dependence of one upon the other. The Lord's Prayer is a social, corporate prayer. Even when we pray it on our own, we pray our Father, not my Father. It's not about an individual relationship. It's about a community relationship. We are implying that there is a relationship one with another. God is present with his people. It is our Father, not my Father. Our Father. I sometimes get concerned, you know, when I'm in meetings or in worship and people will pray very sincerely, but they will use the word I just want to. It's not, it's we. We are the body of Christ. We're not individual members of it, manipulating the rest of it. We are the body of Christ. It's our Father, not my Father. We are individual members of the one body. And so to reverence God is to recognize that relationship. Our Father. And only people who are united in love can truly pray together saying, Our Father, hallowed be thy name. In a sense, it's a little bit like the sacrament of Holy Communion. Like the words of the Lord's Prayer, it takes us right back to Jesus of Nazareth. But those words and those actions that we perform regularly around the Lord's table are no magical incantation guaranteed to work every time. But they are a sign of the presence of God with his people in that particular place at that particular time. There are times when you will come to worship and you will go away knowing that you have been in the presence of an almighty God. There are other occasions you will come and you will go home feeling quite cold. It's not that God's changed, it's that we've changed. I wonder, not being too personal or too rude, I wonder when you came to church this morning, what was top of your list to do? Who'd you got to see? Who'd you got to check on? Who'd you got to... Was worship at the top of the list? Was that your priority when you came into this building this morning? Because if it's not, can you be surprised if God is not real to you? Because he's waiting for you. He's in this very place. For this is a holy place, a place where God has met with his people over the generations. And a place where he's always waiting to meet with his people. With those who reverence his name. Those who recognize that they are part of a body. He is always near to speak to each one of us. He is never far away. It depends on our spiritual attitude when we come to worship. It depends upon how we see ourselves in relationship to one another and to God. Do we hallow one another? Have we a reverence for each other? Do we really listen to what others say to us? Or do we just hear and actually we're working out what we're going to say next? So we don't listen. Because listening is so important. Because that suggests that you give the person you're talking to a value. They are worth hearing. You are beginning to reverence them as individuals. You are giving them a value. Reverence for one another and reverence for God is the only way he can build his kingdom among us. It's the only way that he can be real to us, not just as we gather within these sacred walls, but when we go through those doors, out into our everyday lives, out into the relationships we shall build with other people, beyond this fellowship here. That passage from Matthew speaks about doing good deeds and prayer and all the rest, but at the very heart of all of that, it's hallowed be thy name. For thy kingdom will come and will be done on earth when we learn to reverence our God and to reverence one another. Amen. Let us now say that prayer together.